When I was a kid, I grew up in McKinney, Texas. My parents took me to church because of my dad's work schedule. A lot of times that was mom that took me to the old downtown First Baptist Church of McKinney. I don't remember much I know we went to Sunday school. It was upstairs, I remember. I don't remember much about what we did other than we made crafts. So we made a lot of crafts. I brought home a craft, I think, every week, some drawing that my mother probably kept somewhere for a long, long time. And when we would go to the worship services in those days, they didn't have something like Sunday Morning Kids Club. We sat with our parents. Anybody remember this? And do you remember being told to be quiet and be still? Yeah, there was a lot of that. My mother would often give me a piece of paper and have me draw on it to occupy my time, and I'm sure at some point, like many of you, just kind of took a little nap during that part of the... In my late high school years, college days, I'm not real proud of all this, but, you know, I went to church when it was convenient and went to the worship service, and... didn't really do Sunday school, unfortunately, in those days. I knew it was important, but unfortunately, in those days, I thought there were a lot of things that were important, and I guess I thought that those things were more important, obviously. When I got married, Rosemary and I started going to church, and we joined up with a young married Sunday school class that was... like 40 and a half years ago when we were young married people. The first Sunday that we visited, I was teaching in Denton at the time. We went to First Baptist Denton, and we visited church that Sunday. And we lived in some apartments on Sam Bass Boulevard. Apartment A14, we were married on August the 14th. Isn't that romantic? Oh, we went back to our apartment, and Rosemary, we changed clothes, and Rosemary went to the kitchen to fix us something for lunch, and I was in a bathrobe, I remember, and was vacuuming the apartment. I'd like to tell you I was doing that because that's just what I did, but I'm sure it was because Rosemary said, "Why don't you vacuum while I'm fixing lunch?" And so I'm vacuuming the apartment, and I'm in my bathrobe, not expecting anyone to visit at 12:30, 12:45 on a Sunday afternoon. But sure enough, there was a knock, knock, knock on the door. And I opened the door, and there were people that I did not know, old people that I did not know. They were Mr. and Mrs. Neal, and they were ancient. They were probably in their 60s. And they asked to come inside. And so, I'm thinking, well, I think I can take him. So so I let him in, he and his wife. Mr. Neal was probably 6'1". Mrs. Neal was about 3'2", I think. I'm not sure. And they came in. They were the sweetest people. They visited with us. They found out that Rosemary and I both had music degrees. They said, "Oh, well, then you need to be in the choir." And they've already got us enrolled in that, basically. And then they did something that really caught me off guard. These 60, maybe 70, I don't know, 60-year-old people, you know, when you get that age, how do you know? Anyhow, they said, "We would like for you to come to our house for dinner this week. Would Thursday night be okay?" Look at Rosemary, and she's going, "Sure." So we ended up going to these old people's house for dinner. We've only known them for about 10 or 15 minutes, and I got to tell you, we just had the best time with them. They were the sweetest people, and so we started getting involved in, we weren't really all that involved at first, and I think maybe the second or third Sunday we were there, we were in Sunday school in this young marrieds class, and there were five or six couples who had this thing that they called Supper Club. And they invited Rosemary and I to be in their supper club. Now, what this meant was they were going to get together once a month, and they would rotate whose home they would eat in, and they also rotated one of the other people's home where all the kids went, and they would hire one babysitter, and they'd all pitch in to pay for that babysitter, and they were at one house tearing that place up while we were enjoying ourselves, and we ate and played games and just had the best time getting to know these folks that we didn't know beforehand. You know, along about that same time, Bill Chambly, you've heard that story. He was a minister over there at the time, and he and I were becoming friends. And Bill Shadle was the minister of music back in the day. Bill was known for making biscuits. He could make the best. And every once in a while, if you were in the choir, he would just bring a whole tray of biscuits over to you. They were really good, and everybody loved Bill because he made them biscuits. I'm just playing with you there. Anyhow, I mean, it was just, you know, we were you know what was happening? We were getting connected. The people that we were in supper club, you know, we were there a few years, and when I felt the call of the ministry and we were going to move to Fort Worth so I could go to seminary, that group of folks would come to Fort Worth every so often so that we could still be part of that group. They would meet us at a Mexican food restaurant. I think they just wanted to go to Fort Worth, but they'd let us know, and we would meet with them and eat. And when I graduated from seminary, the first pastor I had was in a little small church down in Tyler, Texas. And that supper club group, the first Sunday I preached, they all came down to listen to me preach at that church. They are friends of ours even today. You know what was happening, that little story I've just told you? Church for me was a place that I went to early on. And sometimes I didn't go all that often. But then it became a people that I got to know and got to love and appreciated. And things changed when that happened for the better. Because church was no longer an event or a place. It became a people that I wanted to be around. A people that encouraged, people that I could encourage. It was a wonderful transition. And really what I discovered was what was happening to me was what the Bible is describing ought to be the case. Because, and you've heard me preach on this before, over 50 times in the New Testament, God says that the church needs to be, and he uses this phrase, one another. And he says that he makes these over 50 commands that we need to, you know, love, do something with one another, to one another, for one another. One another is a part of it. In Acts, that little snapshot at the end of chapter 2 of what the early church was like. Listen to what it says. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. It goes on to say, and all those who believed were together. And they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. When you start adding up all those commands of doing things with, for, and to one another, and you see how the early church was, you get this idea, again, that God's intention is not that church just be an event that we go to for an hour in the morning, or if you're really committed, a couple of hours in the morning. But they become a people that you're connected to, that you're loving and caring for and being concerned for, living life together with them. God has always intended for the church to be a gathering of people who had a sense of belonging to one another. Now, here's that is my sermon in a nutshell right there. I suppose I could let you go right now. Way too early for that. Not a chance. But what I want to do is I'll try to move quickly through it. There are at least four images that God uses when he speaks of us, when he speaks of the church. And I want to touch on those four images. And there's a reason that God uses these images to describe us as the church. And I'm unapologetic why I'm bringing this up. God has blessed us with a number of folks that have been visiting our congregation. And I want to encourage you, if you've not already, I want to encourage you to think about belonging, investing your life with us here. Now, you're not a bad person if you walk out the door and say, well, not this morning. That's okay. I don't intend to be the Holy Spirit for you. But and really, for that matter, even those of you who have a name on the roll, I want to encourage you to invest your life into these people that we call New Hope Baptist Church. Don't think so much about investing in a building or a program, but think in terms of investing yourself in people. Because God's intention was is that the church would be people, that we love one another, we care for one another, and all those things. Let's get with it. One of the passages that I want to speak from, and you don't necessarily have to turn there. I'm going to run through several here in a minute, but if you want, you can jot it down. In the second chapter of Ephesians, Paul is describing our salvation. I love the chapter. He says we're saved from death. He says we're saved through faith. He says we're saved by God's grace. He says we're saved for good works. And then at the end of the chapter, he is talking about that the Gentiles and the Jews are no longer separate groups, but that God has brought us together. And he uses this term, this picture of what that looks like. And what he's describing is that we are all part of this spiritual building that God is building. Listen to what he says. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. As a member of this church, you're like a brick in a building. Have you ever walked through, when the Family Life Center, do you remember walking through it as it was being built? In fact, some of you volunteered almost every day to come and clean up stuff, debris, because you'd walk through there and there'd be a piece of wood over here, or a piece of PVC pipe over here, or a wire, or a plug, or there was all this stuff that was in the building, in a sense, but it wasn't part of the building. Why? Because it wasn't connected. It's just laying around. And people would come, volunteers would come, and they would gather that stuff up and discard it because it was never going to be connected. See, part of being in a church is to be connected, to have the parts fit together. If they don't fit together, if they're not somehow connected with one another, like the frame connected to the foundation and the roof connected to the frame, and all those parts are adding support and stability to all the other parts. If they're not connected, you've just got a pile of unstable stuff. But when they're all properly connected, then you got a building. People come to our church over the years, they attend, they're in, but they're not really connected. If that describes you, you're not a bad person. But what I want to do is to encourage you to understand that God's intention was is that we would just not attend something together, but we would belong to one another. that we'd be a part of one another. Why do you think God used this image of being joined together for becoming a holy temple for the Lord? Well, it's because all these connected parts support one another, and you and I, that's one of our basic needs, is we need support. Sometimes we need emotional support, sometimes we need physical support, sometimes some other kind of support. We need somebody to come alongside of us and keep us from drooping through a hard time. God's intention was, is that we as the building of God would be that for one another. There's another image. This is maybe the one that a lot of people think of when they think through the New Testament. They think how the church is described, and that is that we individually are part of a body. Let me read Romans 12 for you. Paul uses this image a lot. Here's a short version of it. In Romans 12, 4, he says, "For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another." He goes on to talk about that we have different gifts. There's a lot in this whole concept. Let me real quick go through five things here. First, in a church, it's God's intention that we would all be different. We're all unique. God does not want you to be like that guy over there. He doesn't want that. He wants you to be you in Christ. He doesn't want you to copy somebody else. He has so composed the body so that there would be a difference among us. And the reason for that is the second thing. We all have different roles to play in the body. Think about your physical body. If all the parts of your body were involved in the process of digestion, that would just be kind of crazy, wouldn't it? If everybody, what team are you on? We're on the digestion team. Wow. And then you talk to somebody, we're on the digest. It's a little bit redundant. I'm thinking it'd be a little bit uncomfortable. I don't even know how that would work. In fact, you know what? It wouldn't work. Because all the members of a body have a different role to play. And sometimes when you bring this thing up, you know, because the third thing is we're obviously then we're all needed for the body to be complete. And sometimes, and I understand this, I've been through this. Well, I play such an insignificant part, I don't really count. Would you agree with me that your toenail is a small part of your body? Have any of you ever smashed that booger? Every other part of your body knew that it had happened, right? The other foot is supporting all your weight as you're jumping up and down. Your voice is screaming. You know, your hands now have gone to provide comfort. You know, everybody is, they got job number one, and that's, let's see if we can get the pain to go away from the toenail. See, size and significance are not, they're not equal. You can be little and be extremely significant. Every member of the body is important in here. Most important light I've got in my house is not that great big light hanging in the living room. You know which one it is, don't you? It's that little light that helps you get up in the middle of the night to go to the restroom. It's the most important light you got in the house. Keeps you from bumping into something. Or, second runner-up, maybe that little light in the refrigerator when you open the door. I love that light. When it goes out and it's not functioning, you know it, don't you? You bet you do. See, size and significance are not the same thing. Everybody is important in the body of Christ. We all belong to one another. Fourth thing, the Christian life is not just a matter of believing, it's a matter of belonging. You say, well, I believe in Jesus. Great, you're halfway there. You know, when Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? He didn't give just one. He said, well, you know, the greatest one, the foremost one, is love the Lord your God with everything. But you know, there's another one, just like love your neighbor as yourself. The horizontal relationships. Fifth thing, we all need to be connected to one another. If you're disconnected, then you're not going to be very effective. You know, why did God choose the body as an illustration of what the church ought to be? Because in the body, all the parts work together to care for the body. The head leads them, but if you've got a part of the body that's not functioning, it's dysfunctional. Same thing's true with the church. Okay. Third image. I think maybe this is maybe God's favorite. I don't know. Because it comes up a lot. In Psalm 100, it says, God made us and we are His. We are His people. We are the sheep of His pasture. Besides the fact that we're bricks in a building, besides the fact that we're a member of a body, God says that we are a sheep in His flock. Jesus said He was the good shepherd of that, which means He's going to provide the needs. God says in Philippians, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd in John 10. I'm not going to read through that whole passage for you. Why did God choose this image of the flock as an image of what it means to be spiritually connected? It's because in a flock, the sheep really cannot protect and provide for themselves. They're dependent upon the good shepherd. And all of us have that in common. As big as we may think we are in the flock, we're all dependent on the shepherd. You may be getting beat up in the business world. Your marriage and family may be strained. You may be facing some sort of personal crisis. We need a good shepherd in our life. We all do. And God says that we are part of His flock. Fourth image. And I think maybe this is the one that we tend to like the most. We say it a lot. And it's the idea that we're family of God. In 1 Timothy 3, Paul says, I want you to know how people who are members of God's family must live. And then he says, God's family is the church. God intends for us as followers of Christ, not just to be, and I say this all the time, Lone Ranger followers going off in different directions, but He wants us to be together as part of a family. Romans 12:10, love each other like brothers and sisters. In past generations, in a church, they would refer to one another as brothers and sisters. It's kind of a nice thing. We think it's kind of gotten outdated, I guess. I did not grow up in that kind of culture, that tradition. I didn't hear that a lot growing up. When I went to that church in East Texas, though, they said, we're going to call you. And I thought, oh, they're going to call me the right Reverend Elmer Cummings. We're going to call you Brother Elmer. My brother didn't call me Brother Elmer. That was kind of a different thing for me. But, you know, they called one another brother and sister. So the way they spoke to one another, they were indicating we're family. And I think it's a nice thing. And some of you are going, we're not going to do that, Brother Elmer. In my young adult years, there was a TV show that I used to watch. Some of you will make fun of me because I watched it, but you watched it too. It was about people that went to a bar. The show was called Cheers. Yeah, you watched it, didn't you? Do you remember the theme song for that TV show? Listen to the words. Making your way in the world today takes everything you got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name, and they're always glad you came. You want to be where you can see our troubles are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name. You'll have to tell me, I've never been to a bar. Is that the way it is in most bars? If you just... I don't know anything about them, but I'm thinking that ought to be the way it is in church, shouldn't it? Why did God choose this idea of family as an illustration of what He wanted the church to be? It's because in a family, in a healthy family, members love one another and they care for one another. They don't talk bad about one another. Their actions indicate that they put the needs of one another greater than their own. And quite honestly, that's one of the things that this church excels at. When I visit with people who have visited us, one of the things that they always say is just how friendly you are. How you made them feel welcome. It's a good thing. I'm going to close with this, and it's just simply a question. And I don't ask this to put some sort of pressure on you. Again, I don't want to be the Holy Spirit for you, telling you that you need to up and join right now. But you know, if you're thinking this is the place that God wants you to be, I would just simply ask you this morning, why would you stay disconnected? Why would you stay as an attender? If God has brought you to a point that you think this is the family, this is the building, this is the flock, why wouldn't you want to invest? First thing you need to do is give your life to Jesus Christ. If you've not done that, we want to help with that. But then after that, God intends for you to be a part of a body. Again, I say it almost every Sunday. God doesn't want you to be some Lone Ranger Christian somewhere. It's not part of the plan. He doesn't want you to go out and be spiritual on your own. He wants you to be part of the flock, the family of God, the body of Christ. Let's bow and pray. Father, next to a relationship with you, which is the greatest thing that you've ever provided for us, you've given us the opportunity to be connected to your family, to be part of the body of Christ, your flock. Thank you, Father, that we don't have to go through life disconnected, isolated. Thank you for creating those that you've called out from the world. Thank you for creating the church. Thank you for creating the New Hope family. May we never take it for granted. And may we invest, as we serve you, may we invest ourselves, not in a program or in a building, but in a people who call themselves New Hope Baptist Church. All this we lift up in Christ's name. Amen.